You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. I am your host, Brett Bittner. You Can't Outrun the Fork examines healthy eating habits to break you out of the standard American diet and the problems that accompany it. We offer you a perspective on what it means to eat in a healthy manner from a variety of options and how we can fix our health by thinking about food differently. While I have an affinity for the ketogenic diet because it works for me, we will be examining a lot of other healthy eating options. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and subscribe using your favorite podcast catcher. You can always catch the latest shows at can'toutrunthefork.com. We are often taking your questions, comments, show ideas, and suggested guests via email at show@can'toutrunthefork.com. If you are new to the program, we do keep things short compared to other things on the network, usually only lasting about 45 minutes. If this particular episode isn't your cup of tea, I suggest trying some of the others in the feed. This show is for adults interested in avoiding the health issues that plague the standard American diet. However, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on this podcast. The conversations within are not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, they are a reflection of the experience of the host and guests, unless otherwise noted. Enjoy!
Kids are starving in Japan, so eat it. Just eat it.
Welcome back to another episode of You Can't Outrun the Fork. For We Are Libertarians audiences, those of you who have been a part of the network and listened to some of the network shows, you will definitely recognize my guest today. He is the host of Boss Hog of Liberty, another one of the Wall Network shows, and somebody that I have really, really, really enjoyed getting to know and spending time with in my time here in Indiana. And I was really excited when I heard that he has actually endeavored to eat a little bit healthier and embarked on a weight loss journey. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Today, we're going to be talking to Jeremiah Morrell. Once again, he is the host of the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast here on the We Are Libertarians Network, and the recently engaged Jeremiah Morrell. I want to congratulate you on the show for that. That's a pretty nice accomplishment. I think your fiance is a wonderful lady, and I am very excited to see that the two of you are coming together and making a union that is going to be as wonderful as your courtship has been.
Thank you, Brett. I've definitely outkicked my coverage with the lovely Sarah Potter. It's fun to be on here. I definitely didn't plan on being on. Is this You Can't Outrun the Fork, or you've?
Yep, you can't outrun the fork.
That's the name of the show.
All right. Yeah.
Right. Sporks with Brett. I don't know.
Something. Yeah. KetoCast. That was what Lenz was pushing for, and. You know, we did stuff for Spangle was wanted it to be keto curious. He had all kinds of good ideas. Of course, none of them were actually good, but he had a couple of names, and I just loved, for me, it really exemplifies that it doesn't matter how much exercise. It was all about changing the way that I eat that really did make a big change for me in terms of living a better life and feeling much better than I did at 36.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been, I'm not doing keto. I'm doing the South Beach, which is probably like a kissing cousin of the keto.
Yeah, very close, yeah.
And I started around the 1st of September this time around, and I'm down 35 as of today. 35 pounds in about 90 days.
That's awesome. You look great.
So. We're working our way there, trying to get something more healthy. I figured, you know, you're in your mid 30s or upper 30s, and I'm 34. It was one of those things where I kind of told myself, if we're gonna do this, it's, you know, do now. It while your body's on the on, right. You know, it's trying to play along instead of being difficult. So
yeah,
honestly, it's not been effortless, but it's been something that hasn't been as hard as people would think it would be.
That was exactly what it was for me with keto. So. For those listeners who may not know what South Beach is all about, can you kind of give us a couple-minute synopsis of what it's like for you, what you're eating, what it means for you, kind of the things that you're keeping away and the things that you're really eating a lot of.
Yep. South Beach is a diet that was designed, I think, or a way of eating. I don't know if diet's the right words to use, but something that was designed probably 20, 25 years ago by a guy named Dr. Arthur Agaston from Florida. So South Beach is based on the area he's at. I think he practices at like a South Beach hospital down in the greater Miami area. And it was designed for diabetics and for heart patients,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for weight loss. Kind of like in your journey, it's a side effect or something that happens just by naturally changing the way your body reacts. It's three phases. And phase one is supposed to last about 2 weeks, and that's a very strict, restricted approach. You're cutting out anything sugar, anything with flour, anything with corn or starches. You are encouraged to have lean meats, vegetables, green beans, lettuce. I've really come to rely on seasoning with vinegar, oils, salt, pepper, lime juice, lemon juice, that sort of a thing. That's really been the go-to for me. A lot of salads, a lot of chicken. An awful lot of chicken, steaks, asparagus, green beans, that sort of a thing. And it's just a routine. And then I know you love the breakfast food too.
Yeah, I do.
Sarah and I have both been, we'll do sausage. I've got a whole hog in the fridge that are in the freezer that I got last summer.
Very jealous
been,
of that.
Been eating on that. So plenty of homegrown bacon and sausage and pork chops. All of that's okay.
Yeah.
Hogs, pork is generally pretty lean. I love to go to Aldi and get the sirloins and the ribeyes.
Mm-hmm.
Go through one or two of those a week, and just kind of generally avoiding breads and potatoes. Those are the main things. And then beer, cut out the beer. I'm pretty much just club soda and vodka.
Okay.
Generally, that's kind of a deviation too. The South Beach guys in the first week you're supposed to have no alcohol, or the first 2 weeks you're supposed to have no alcohol, and then you go into a maybe a glass of red wine kind of a deal. So Generally trying to cut out sugars,
sure.
Any, fruit juices, those sorts of things, those are all restricted. If you're going to have fruit, they would rather you eat the actual orange instead of drinking orange juice because your body actually has to process the pulp.
Right. It actually makes it so that those calories also are a lot more difficult. You're having to work for
exactly.
them. And so it sounds like the first phase of what you're doing is very similar to what
yeah.
I do.
It's like I said, it's pretty much like kissing cousins. I think they focus a little bit more on the lean meats.
They do, yeah. There's not as much focus on getting that fat.
Right.
But I think you're still getting a lot of the same outcomes because of the carb reduction.
Yep, absolutely. And then I honestly, in phase two, after the first couple, couple of weeks, you're supposed to start introducing some things back. Some things I've put back in, some I haven't. I'll have a little bit of fruit, not a lot, because I just don't crave it necessarily, and I'm still having fine results without doing that. We have a sweet tooth, so the lovely Sarah Potter has been doing this along with me for the same time. She loves to go on Pinterest and find recipes that are carb friendly, carb friendly one way or another. So we've had brownies, she tried cookies, we've got all kinds of almond flour and new products.
Oh, yeah.
But that was honestly the biggest thing I did is, I started this 1st of September, and I purged the house of anything that I couldn't have. Gave it all away. Gave it to my co-host Dakota and to another lady here in town. Went through the freezer, went through the pantry. Anything that I can't have, I've eliminated from the house.
Good. That was something that was really helpful for me when I first got started, was just getting rid of the things that I knew were going to be tempting.
Yep. And then, trying to stay out of the grocery stores. We have click list here in town now at Kroger, so I will go online and pick exactly what I need and let them shop for me, and then I'm done shopping in 5 minutes and I don't have to go inside.
Right. They just bring it out to you, right?
They just bring it right out to the car. So that's a nice bonus. And then the other thing I've done is I weigh myself every morning pretty much consistently. So I track it. I don't worry about what I weighed yesterday. I generally look at like 7 days at a time. So I'll key it in and I have a little spreadsheet, and I know where I'm at. So right now today I'm down 35.
Okay.
I was down 32 for about a week and a half. And then all of a sudden you drop 2 or 3 pounds
right.
and you keep them off. You have a lot of little plateaus and then it goes again. But it's generally been 2 or 3 pounds a week and it just keeps churning off. So, and I knew this was going to be successful. I did this once before, too.
Okay.
Back about 2010, 2011, I was in my mid-20s, and I did this. and I dropped 58 pounds.
Okay.
So I got down to like 258 pounds or something is where I was at.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, you lose focus and you just, you know, you let it come back and it goes, it goes right back. So, you know, I want to kick my ass for doing that the last time. And, you know, now we're working on it again and going to stay focused.
Awesome. So give me a little bit of the toughest thing that you've had to give up or that you've had to moderate.
Donuts.
Really?
That's what I struggle with. Yeah, okay. I'm in a donut shop probably 2 to 3 times a week.
Oh, wow.
Because I buy them for customers and give them away.
Ah, okay.
I'm like a dealer, a donut dealer. We've got Jack's Donuts here in Newcastle. they're like an institution that's growing all over Indiana, but the original one is right here. So I will go there, buy a dozen or two, and I would always buy one or two donuts for myself as well.
Of course, why not?
You know, because you're there, so you get a cup of coffee and a donut. And that's been honestly the hardest thing for me to give up. I've been very strict with myself. I haven't had them. I haven't touched them.
Okay.
The only real deviations I've had, and it's very minimal, and I log that in my little spreadsheet too. When I've had a day that was off, I log it. About 2.5 weeks ago, I went to took a customer out, and we went to a pizza place, a brick oven pizza up the road from us, and they had nothing friendly on the menu. All they had was pizza. They didn't have salads. They didn't have anything. So I was like, oh wow. Man, we're going to try it. So I did just a 6-inch pepperoni pizza with pineapple.
Uh-huh.
I was throwing up within an hour.
Wow.
My body just absolutely rejected. Yep, it was not
happening.
I don't
want any of that flour. I don't want any of that dough. We're getting rid of it right away.
Yep. Yeah, it was crazy. It wiped me out for the afternoon. I was done. That was the end of the day.
Wow.
But yeah, it's crazy how your body just says, nope, shutting down, not happening.
Yeah. And well, you know, it's funny you bring up donuts. If you listen back on episode 9, where Morgan and I talk about T2D Day, that was actually one of the stops that we made. Was Holtman's there in OTR. It was part of our, as we went from basically the food crawl that we did from Starbucks with the basic white girl drink of the pumpkin spice latte in the very beginning of the day all the way to the end. Donuts were in there somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, but I totally understand as somebody who grew up around the corner from a Krispy Kreme and seeing the Hot Donuts Now sign growing up and going and getting a dozen donuts. And they're gone in 2 days. I totally get the donuts thing. I for me, you know, when we're talking about the things that I abstained from, beer was actually the hardest.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will have a little bit here and there. And even when I did this the first time, I bought it was a new product at the time, the Bud Light 55 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't a sophisticated beer drinker at the time, so that was fine. Now I buy it and I just give it out to people, try to get them to drink it for me. I might have one here or there. I think Dakota had his bachelor party back about a month or a month and a half ago, and I had a couple of them there. But honestly, I get the same effect from club soda, vodka, and lime. And
right.
I'm just as happy with that as I am with drinking a beer. So it works. It works for me. And none of this stuff is going to be good for everybody.
Right.
You know, it's one of those you do you. You design what suits you. And that's why, you know, and I did this in 2010. I knew it would work. Sarah and I talked about, hey, we want to, you know, eat healthier, do this. And I was like, you know, I basically pulled out the old dusty cookbook and the South Beach diet book. And said, you know, this thing worked for me. And that was the end of August. And 1st September we started and we're off and running.
That's awesome. Well, and you know, so much of what we've talked about so far on the show has been keto just because that's my focus. That's what's worked for me. That was one of the really exciting things for me about talking with you was we're going to get a little bit of a different perspective. And, you know, as we have upcoming episodes, we're going to be getting even more of a different perspective because, like you said, everybody's different and not everything is going to work for everybody. There, you know, keto worked for me because I had a very specific need and a very specific goal. And I've always said the weight loss is simply a side effect of the things that I was doing to make myself healthier.
Yep.
So 90 days in, are there any things that you just that you weren't expecting to happen as a result of the changing in the way that you eat? Because we're 3 months in, you're seeing results for sure. And I mean, I can see results on you.
Yep.
Because it's probably been since right before you started that I've seen you.
Yeah, probably at least July or August, somewhere in there. I mean, I'm down. I rented for a wedding. I rented a suit and I dropped 2 suit sizes, but so I had to get an emergency corrective jacket.
I know exactly what that's like.
Had to go through that. I'm back in clothes that I owned 5 or 6 years ago.
Nice.
I'm having to brace for the financial impact of blowing through those clothes at some point here.
For
and
sure.
I'm going to have to be ready for the next round. So those have all been nice things. You know, I have a little bit more energy. I'm not running down the hallways with energy and excitement, but,
yeah.
You know, I'm doing all right with that. Working out, that's not my thing particularly.
Sure.
I've got a treadmill and I'll watch a little bit of Netflix or something on the treadmill, but I don't, you know, I've got a Bowflex and it just sits there. I'm not doing strength training or weightlifting or any of that stuff. So I'm a very busy person as well. So I knew this was going to be something that, you know, if I have, you know, I work a full-time job, I travel, I sit in the car, I don't have time to get out and walk or lift or do all that stuff. And then when I get home in the evenings, I volunteer 3, 4, 5 nights a week or mm-hmm. have a social life. So this has to be my decision as to how I was going to go about this had to be something that would be convenient. So that was just eating, making different eating choices. And I'm sure I could have even more results if I, you know, if I was going to the gym 3 or 4 nights a week.
Sure.
You know. Right now, this is working for me, and I'm going to
keep
on that process.
The whole premise of the show when you talk about stuff like that, though. We're talking about how you can't outrun the fork. You have to have the healthy eating component in order to really see any positive outcomes. And then for me, you know, the working out, you mentioned having the energy to run and jump and be excited and all of that. That just kind of came after a while. It just appeared. It materialized because I wasn't having to drag around that extra weight. I wasn't having to drag around blood sugar that was going through the roof and then plummeting and through the roof and plummeting. It's flatlined. It's plateaued. It's rare. Even now when I do have the rare and appropriate celebrations or milestones or I have a rare and appropriate break from the way of eating, I'm still not seeing a huge spike in my blood sugar, which I was expecting the first time that I had, you know, the first break that I had was for my birthday last year, and I had a slice of cheesecake that I shared with someone, and between the two of us, we still had a third of that cheesecake left, of that slice of cheesecake. I had a third, she had a third, and then there was a third that was left, and I felt absolutely awful after. But I did check my blood sugar that night. 2 hours after, just like I'm supposed to all the time, 2 hours after every meal is what my doctor first had me going with at the very beginning. So I checked it 2 hours after, and I was expecting my blood sugar to be in the 300s because that was what I had seen. And it wasn't. It was pretty normal. It was actually within the range that he says is normal. And I was like, wow, that's amazing that I had something that deviated from the way that I've been eating, and I didn't have the after effect that I was expecting. And then I had that hungover feeling that the nausea and the abdominal pain and just the general terrible feeling that you have from what I call the food hangover.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for me, before I started this, it would be no big deal to order Chinese food and have, you know, General's chicken and fried rice delivered.
Of course.
And that stuff would knock me out. I would go into, you know, because it's all it was all very refined. You know, mm-hmm. you have a sugary sauce, breaded mm-hmm. chicken, and white rice that's had stuff added to it. So that would, I'm sure it would screw my sugar up, and I would be asleep in an hour. It would knock me out.
Yeah.
I couldn't dream of doing that now. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah. You know, but you don't miss it.
No, not at all. It's just, you know, it's so much easier. Once you get into a routine, you know, it's just, you know, tonight dinner, I got home real quick. I had a chopped Southwest salad, tossed in some cheddar cheese and some chicken breast I'd cut up before and some green peppers, and it was perfect.
Nice.
Lunch today, you know, traveling, you have to be willing to eat out and make modifications to your food order. So mm-hmm. lunch today was at Wendy's, had a Baconator with no bun and a Caesar side salad and some Coke Zero.
Awesome.
You know, just an awful lot of stuff like that. You know, Applebee's last night, had a steak and some green beans, I think. Just, you know, you can eat almost anywhere. You really can and be okay. It's just, you've got to be a little bit flexible, and sometimes you just have to say no to yourself too. You know, I haven't had, I don't have, you know, like mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving was kind of tough not to do, but we substituted.
Right.
We had a twice baked cauliflower dish that was amazing
okay.
that Sarah
yeah.
put together. So, you know, you just have to be a little bit creative.
Yeah.
You know, chicken pizza, you know, pizza crust, We've made that a handful of times now. It's
Have
pretty easy.
Have you guys done the egg crust that we do with the keto pizza?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. The crust that that we've been using is, you know, I've got, once again, we've got all kinds of chicken in the freezer, so
sure.
And a food processor. So I will, you know, you get the protein where you can get it, right?
Right.
So we, you know, that's generally a chicken with some Italian seasonings and some, I think, some cheese in it. And
yep.
Then you run it through, bake it, blind bake it, and then put your tomato paste on and whatever toppings you want. It's phenomenal.
Yep. I'm a huge fan of some of those things that you can come around and replicate what you would have had normally before.
Yep.
Because I think that does tend to give you a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
Not all about, this is the huge change that I've made and everybody around me has to change and we can never eat out again. We're going to have to meal plan 7 days a week and we're going to have to put all this stuff in all these Tupperware containers and, you know, you're doing something very similar to what I do in that you're just going out and you're just modifying a little something here, a little something there, but you're not having to really overhaul everything in your life
yep.
in order to eat in a more healthy way.
Yeah, you throw away your ketchup and replace it with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Or you just have mustard. You don't have honey mustard. You have yellow mustard or spicy mustard.
Yeah.
Those are the small changes you have to make. Can you have beans? Do you have black beans
or
anything like that? Is that anti-keto or it's just anti-bittner?
Well, no. There are a lot of carbs in beans.
Yeah.
And so corn, beans are gone. You know, obviously the breads, the rice, flour, all of that's gone.
Right. See, I guess that's one area where there's a difference then is the, you know, I can have, with what I'm doing, you can have the complex carbs still.
Right.
So whole wheat items are still okay. I generally don't, I won't buy bread off the shelf because still don't trust it because I know there's some other stuff that's in there.
Of course.
But, you know, if I, like, I love ham and beans. So that's been a staple as well.
Okay.
I will get a bag of beans, dried beans, soak them for a couple days, toss in some ham, shred an onion.
Okay.
And make that. And I, you know, you eat like that African kid for $1.25 a day or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's phenomenal. You just don't, you know. You maybe you don't have the brown sugar in there and you don't have the cornbread, but it's very good.
It's a good meal and it's cheap and it's easy to make.
And it's friendly to the plan.
Awesome.
A lot of chili, you know, same thing. I love chili. So Indiana, people have chili with pasta. That's a no go for me. That's a non-starter.
Yeah,
I'm originally a Northeasterner, so pasta doesn't belong in chili anyway.
I don't blame you. Those silly Cincinnati people, the Skyline people.
Yeah, not chili either. That's a Coney sauce.
Oh, well, yeah. I actually love the Coney sauce with the, you know, I just actually do a Coney bowl when I'm there.
Yeah.
Because it's a beanless chili and, you know, very low carb. Have you found that when you're eating this way, now that in the last 30 days or 90 days that you've been, that you've changed the way that you eat, have you found that you are to the point yet where you're like skipping meals and not realizing it? Has that happened for you?
No, that's the other side of the South Beach, and that's great. I'm glad you brought it up. You don't skip any meals.
Okay.
You have 3 meals a day. So
okay.
you immediately, when you wake up in the morning, you force something in. So I will have the Okios sugar-free yogurt.
Gotcha.
Almost every morning I'll have that or maybe some Canadian bacon or an egg or something. I have something to start the day every day.
Okay.
And then you snack throughout the day too. So I generally have some almonds in my desk at work or
okay.
a cheese stick, something like that. So you don't skip any meals. This is designed, I think basically to keep your glycemic levels level throughout the day.
Sure.
So you don't have any spikes. So the fasting that you guys might do and what you're doing, or you find yourself skipping breakfast or skipping lunch and just eating one meal a day, this is more designed so that you're just balancing throughout the day.
Okay.
And then I don't, the other thing that was nice is that anything that's on the approved list, basically it's kind of like Weight Watchers where you eat as much as you want to.
Okay.
I don't have to count carbs. I don't have
yeah.
to count, you know, I don't have to track any of that stuff.
Right.
The metric I have is the, you know, what do I weigh? And I look at that over the course of a week or two. And that's just for me. That suits my approach to accountability. Sarah, my girlfriend, she might check in every week or two on her thing and give me an update of where she at just
okay.
to, you know, hold each other accountable kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And it's not, you're not yelling at yourself. You're just literally looking at it and saying, here's, you know, is what I'm doing working or not? And
yeah.
it's a motivating thing.
Well, now have you adopted, I know that you're a tech guy and you're wanting to automate a lot of this stuff. Did you do a Withings scale or anything like that to help you with the tracking? Or is this all manual labor you're stepping on a regular old scale that just kind of spins, or?
Yeah, I just got a digital scale, and I get a number and I key it in. That's all there is to it. Okay. And it's in a little spreadsheet in Google Docs, so I can see it anywhere.
Awesome.
That's it. And then I wear my smartwatch has a pedometer on it, so I can, you know, I can track and see how many steps I've gotten in a day. And honestly, it's not that many. I'm not, you know, I'm not like, I know when you got your diagnosis, you were out there killing it, walking
yes,
and walking and walking. I've not, you know, I haven't done that either. You know, an average day might be 3,000 or 4,000 steps, because I sit in a car all day and I'm in an office. You know, a big day is 10,000 or 15,000. You know, but it's not, that's definitely out of the ordinary for me.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you're not working out because it doesn't really fit what you're doing. Is that something that you foresee adding later on, or is it, I'm just going to stick with changing the way that I eat and that's going to be it?
When, you know, it's one of those things that's, you know, it's just like jumping on the treadmill. When I have time, I do.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm doing 2 podcasts this week. I have a day job.
Right.
Tuesday night we did a volunteer activity. Monday was my one night at home, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday I'm going to be doing other stuff. So it doesn't fit in my schedule with what I have. I don't find the time for it. I don't force the time for it. I'm doing other things in my life. So if I was going to to go down this path, it was going to have to be with the fork and not by just lifting heavy stuff.
Of course. Now, when you take a look at the success that you've had, and you take a look at the changes that you've made, do you foresee anything, adding anything back that you felt super restricted on that may not be on the approved list when you kind of hit some of your goals?
Oh, perhaps. Like I love sweet corn. You know, when sweet corn comes in next year, that might be something I'll toss in.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's all about even to me. You know, I can make a cauliflower mashed potato just as easily as I can make a regular mashed potato.
Exactly.
And they're right there as far, you know, they're as good as one of the other to me. So it's just making the right choices. I'm not killing myself to do this. Honestly, I feel bad, you know, biscuits and gravy, Sarah loves that. I'm fine with it. But I'm okay if I don't ever have it again. It's not going to kill me. I never really liked pasta, you know, macaroni and cheese, spaghetti, meatballs, none of that. That stuff was not my dish.
Okay.
So that part's been easy, and I'm just as happy, you know, if we take zucchini and we shred it and make noodles out of that.
Right.
I'm just as happy with with doing shrimp and zucchini, and a lemon sauce as I am, a lemon butter sauce, as I am if we had it with regular noodles.
Okay.
Same thing with chicken. You know, those are totally fine with me. I love zucchini, basil. You just find different ways to season dishes, and it works for you.
Now, you're looking at a different way of eating, but somewhat related. I've never done South Beach. Is there anything for a listener who says, you know what, keto just seems like it's ridiculous and I can't make it happen, but South Beach might be something that I can do because I'm not going to have to give up the beans, or I'm not going to have to give up some of the things that I would for keto. What are some of the things, if somebody's starting out with South Beach, that in your experience in the last 90 days with the successes you've had, that you want to make sure somebody is aware of if they're thinking about adopting this way of eating?
It's basically just following the process. You know, buy the $15 book and go through, and they've got sample meal plans. It makes it very easy to go out and buy what they have. You know, a lot of bacon and eggs and string cheeses and just following the list, Canadian bacon. You just you're off and running. It's not overwhelming by any means. There's a few desserts that they made that may or may not suit your taste. But you definitely aren't going to be shortchanged on anything. They make it a very balanced setup. So you can have your desserts, you have your snacks, you have everything that you want to have. Sometimes you miss a little bit of a crunch. You go to a Mexican, I go to a Mexican restaurant a lot, and I say no tortillas, and I'll have, you know, sausage and chicken and cheese. That's a typical dish. You know, you'd love to have the corn tortillas. I don't have those. I pass on them every time.
Right.
That's one of those that that's probably the one thing I'd love to have back if I could, just because I'm in a Mexican restaurant so much for this plan. But if that's the biggest sacrifice I have to make, I guess I'll make it.
Okay. Awesome. So are there any like meal services, like, you know, a Blue Apron or something like that focus specifically on South Beach. I know that I'm starting to see some of these things for keto. I know there's a keto fridge and there's something else. Is there anything that is out there that you know of that just kind of kickstarts it so you aren't even having to worry about the meal planning or buying the book? You can just kind of go with these folks, know that the first 2 weeks is your kind of induction phase, and these are the kind of foods that you can have, and then gradually add those things back in. Is there anything out there like that that you know of?
Yeah, I kind of looked at it. Since I started this, you know, in 2010 or 2011 and went away and then came back, it became very commercialized.
Of course.
So Atkins did it, and the South Beach people did too, where they sell their naming rights to certain bars or supplements.
Of course.
So you don't have full meal plans, but they do have the, you know, the supplemental bars. And I looked at them and I thought, well, this is stupid. You know, they're very expensive, and it looked to be more effort than it was worth. Okay. I can go buy a bag of almonds for $14 and keep them on hand, or some pistachios. Say the word, Jeremiah. Pistachios, or some cheese, and have that and be just as well set up as I could be to buy their gimmicky bar. So some of that stuff is in the marketplace, but it wasn't for me.
Gotcha. So the last little bit before we kind of wrap things up, the last thing I wanted to ask is, you know, I talked about, you know, the last episode that we did was episode 9. It was T2D Day, where it was the rare and appropriate.
Yeah.
Are you doing any of that? You mentioned Dakota's bachelor party. You had a beer. You mentioned the pizza that you kind of had to go on that one day. Are there?
Yeah, your T2D Day, when that was announced, Sarah was like, "We got to go to this." And I was like, "There's no way in hell we're going to that." That's like the gauntlet of making me feel terrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude.
I'm not signing up for that self-inflicted pain.
Okay.
After the pizza incident, Sarah and I have a trip scheduled to Chicago in January. And I'd said, "Yeah, we're going to get like a deep dish pizza, and we're going to go all out at on Chicago pizza." I think I'm taking that one back. I don't.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not. The pain's too much for.
I totally understand having been there and kind of gone through that.
Yeah.
But are you looking at things like, you know, milestones or goals or just celebrations in general where you're going to say, "All right, for this meal, I'm going to back off a little bit because this is one of those times where it's rare and appropriate"?
I don't have that planned right now.
Okay.
You know, there have been times where I'll have I'll sneak something here or there, but we got through Thanksgiving and I did okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I didn't have any of the desserts. We made our own pumpkin pie type thing.
Yeah,
we did too. A crustless pumpkin pie, and I was all right. I really don't see anything on the radar that I'm like, yeah, once I get to this number or I achieve this thing, I want to go down that path.
Okay.
It's not worth it to me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, all the things for me have been kind of focused on numbers that I've gotten when I've gone to the doctor and, you know, where he stepped down medicine or, you know, completely cut it out entirely. And so those things for me were the times to rarely and appropriately celebrate. So, and T2D Day obviously is the big one, and that's kind of going to be something every year that happens. I don't know that it'll be nearly as much of a gauntlet as it was this year, just because there was just absolutely much that we tried to fit in on that day. Jared, man, you're looking great. Like, I've got to say, 90 days in, I'm really proud of...
Wasting away over here.
Hey, you remember this time last year I was wasting away and everybody was starting to get a little worried that maybe something was wrong.
We were starting to take up a collection for your hospital bills that we thought were coming.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we thought you had a chronic wasting disease.
Could have been, you know, you never know, but
if goats get something called CAE, we put them down, and we thought you might've had human CAE.
I have no idea what that is, but for those of you who don't know, yeah. Jeremiah is a 4-H guy.
That's right.
And, he knows a lot about all kinds of farm animals, more than I will ever know. In fact, he's probably introduced me to more farm animals since I have been hanging out with him than I had ever met in my entire life before that.
Brett was a big part of the Rex Bell for Governor campaign in 2016.
It seems so long ago.
We took in an awful lot of county fairs together.
So
we had some farm tours. So we watched beef shows, goat shows, walked through some chicken barns, and
all kinds.
Saw all kinds of stuff. So
oh boy,
good,
did
good
we.
Times.
It was.
Someday you're going to walk me through Boston, and I'm going to have a similar experience.
I will gladly walk you through Boston without any farm animals. I don't think that there are any there. We're actually having a hard enough time finding a place that's going to be okay with the pets that we have that we're taking with us. So, wow. Yeah. Well, dude, absolutely awesome progress. I can't wait to keep seeing it happen. And for you and for Sarah, you know, congratulations again on your engagement. And I really can't wait to see you guys together as a couple going forward. And just really stoked to see that two really awesome people have found one another.
I knew I was on the right track with the South Beach thing when you asked me to be on the Stick a Fork in Your Eye podcast. I was excited. It was noticeable.
Good, good, good. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. This is going to be episode number 10 for You Can't Outrun the Fork. Jer, is there anything you want to promote to people who might not already be listening to Boss Hog of Liberty, or they're not even familiar with the other shows on the We Are Libertarians Network?
Absolutely. Yeah, Boss Hog of Liberty, BossHogOfLiberty.com. Myself and Dakota Davis have a weekly podcast. We talk about all things interesting. It's generally politically based, a little bit of humor here and there. We always try to keep it fun and interesting. We've interviewed local officials, local politicos. We have a race for Congress coming up in our district, so we've interviewed. We're going to have, by the time this series is over, we will have interviewed every single person that's running for the 6th District Congress. Nice. In Indiana. So at some point, we're going to say that the current congressman sat in Dakota Davis's spare bedroom and did an interview with us on the We Are Libertarians Network. So
that's pretty neat.
Check us out on there, BossHogOfLiberty.com. Give us a like and subscribe. Check out an episode or two. It's always a fun time.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys for listening, and I want to make sure that you guys have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.